Good morning. Last week, we reflected on God's commitment to build His church and what is involved in this matter of church growth. Today, we focus on the blessing of God's grace and the impact of God's grace on how we should live. Let's turn our attention to Titus 2, verses 11 through to 15, which reads, "For the grace of God has been revealed, bringing salvation to all people. And we are instructed to turn from godless living and sinful pleasures. We should live in this evil world with wisdom, righteousness, and devotion to God, while we look forward to the hope that the wonderful day when the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ and our Savior will return. He gave His life for us to free us from every kind of sin, to cleanse us and to make us His very own people, totally committed to doing good deeds." The word of the Lord. My friends, these words are from the New Testament book of Titus, one of the Apostle Paul's converts and a young man who was of considerable help to the Apostle Paul in his ministry. Paul wrote the book of Titus, and from all indications, the Apostle Paul introduced Christianity to Crete. And when he and Titus visited the island, he left him there so that he could care for God's people. In these five verses before us, God is talking to us through the Apostle Paul about, one, the blessing of God's grace in verse 11, and secondly, the requirement of godly and expectant living, verses 12 through to 14. And finally, we see an encouragement from Paul to Titus that has implications for us. You know, God's word tells us, first of all, in verse 11 of Titus 2, that the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men. Friends, our world is a messed up, chaotic, and dark place, even with increasing neon lights all around us. But it is in this world, made ugly by sin's dominion, that the doctrine of the grace of God shines bright. Grace is a constant theme in the Bible, and it culminates in the New Testament with the coming of Jesus Christ, according to John 1. 17. The word translated grace in the New Testament comes from the Greek word charis, which means favor, blessing, or kindness. We can all extend grace to others, but when we talk about the grace that is in connection to God, it takes on a whole different powerful meaning. Grace is God choosing to bless us rather than curse us, as our sin deserves. Grace is God's benevolence to undeserving sinful people. Grace is God's unmerited favor. No wonder it has been said, there's no other word for grace but amazing. My friends, the grace of God is something that is unseen. It's intangible. But here in our text, in verse 11, it says the grace of God has, quote, appeared to all men, and it brings salvation, and that this grace instructs us. Therefore, I believe that this grace of God also refers to Jesus Christ incarnate. For only Jesus Christ has brought to all men salvation. And this should not surprise us, because Jesus Himself said, "I did not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance." Friends, Jesus came from heaven to earth so that all people of every nation, of every language, of every culture can experience new life in Jesus and experience the joy of sins forgiven. Those who have been born again by the grace of God have a responsibility to be gracious to others. My friends, when you are gracious to others, you will readily forgive those who hurt you. When you are gracious to others, you will be patient with the weaknesses and faults of others. When you are gracious to others, you will genuinely apologize to those who hurt you, rather than find reasons not to apologize. You know, more couples would still be together today if they had shown more grace to each other. Additionally, fewer children would not have cut off contact with their parents if parents had just been a little bit more gracious to their children. What do you need to do differently to be more gracious to others? Ask God to help you with that today. My friends, God's word tells us that the grace of God instructs us. And in verses 12 through to 14, we have some instructions regarding the requirement of godly and expectant living. Let me ask you today, how are you living? You see, the grace of God has appeared according to God's word that teaches us to, quote, say no to ungodliness and worldly passions, that we are to live self-controlled, upright, and godly lives. Listen to this, in this present age. Friends, our world is filled with ungodliness and worldliness of all kinds of evil passion that displease God. The Bible tells us that in these last days, people will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boastful, proud, abusive, disobedient to their parents, ungrateful, unholy, without love, unforgiving, slanderous, without self-control, brutal, not lovers of good, treacherous, rash, conceited, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. And then the Apostle Paul, mentioning the challenge we have in the world today in the book of Romans, also say they are gossips, they are slanderers, they are God haters, they are insolent, arrogant, boastful, they are inventors of ways of doing evil things. They disobey their parents. There's no fidelity, there's no love, there's no mercy, end quote. My friends, what a description of the ungodliness of the world in which we live. And yet, it is in this evil world that we're called to stand up and to stand out for God. The Bible says that we are to live self-controlled and upright, godly lives. Friends, is this how you're living? You know, God can help you to say no to ungodliness in this present world. It doesn't matter whether you live uptown or downtown. You can live in a way that pleases God with God's help. You can train yourself to be godly by the help of the Holy Spirit of God. You do not have to do what everybody else is doing. You can stand up and stand out for God in this present and evil world. Notice, though, that according to verses 13 and 14, we're told that self-control, upright, and godly living is not an end in and of itself. We do so, quote, while waiting on the blessed hope of the believer, which is the appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave himself to redeem us from all kinds of wickedness and impurity, and to have a people who are his very own, who are eager to do good, the word of the Lord. Friends, the world as we know it will one day come to an end. Time on earth is preparation for eternity. The Lord Jesus will return on the earth in great power and great glory. This is the hope of the believer. And my friends, all true believers know that this is not our home. No matter how comfortable we make ourselves, this is not our home. We are pilgrims and we're just passing through. We know that when Jesus returns, there'll be no more pain, no more murder, no more war, no more sickness, no more crime, no more of these things, because the former things are all passed away and are behind us. Are you ready for that great day, my friend? Can you face the wrath of God in your sins? Oh, my friends, you do not have to do that. But today, you can throw yourself on the mercy of God in humility and, like the publican, say, Lord, have mercy upon me, a sinner. Friends, hell is a real place and there are no escape routes from hell. Remember, too, that heaven is a real place, a prepared place for a prepared people. We do not get to heaven by good works. We get to heaven by the grace of God. And it is this grace that God gives to us that in turn gives us an eagerness to serve and to engage in good works as an expression of the goodness of God in the world. Finally, note in the text that the Apostle Paul encouraged Titus to, quote, teach these things, and he should do so by encouraging and rebuking others with all authority, without letting anyone despise him. Friends, church leaders have a responsibility to teach God's people so they can grow up spiritually. Is that what you're doing as a church leader? People need to be matured in the ways of Christ. It is not going to be easy, my friends, but it's a task to which we must be committed, educating people, the people of God, for spiritual maturity. Christians, as I said earlier, must stand up and stand out for God no matter where they are. Every spiritual leader must encourage this and insist on it with all authority. So then, this morning, ask God to make you a more gracious person. Ask God to give you the strength to say no to the ungodliness and evil passions that's all around us. Rather, train yourself to be godly by letting the word of Christ dwell in you richly. Spend more time in prayer with God. Spend more time in fellowship with other Christians and in corporate worship. Oh, my friends, be eager to serve others as you serve God. And of course, wait for the blessed hope of the return of our Lord Jesus. Is this your disposition, my friends? May that be so for you and I. Amen.